June 21st, study the characters of the Gospels.
Tonight we're going to talk about, we'll start off by talking about anyway, Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Simon the leper. We're going to do a little timeline with them as well when we get that part. But let's go ahead and start what we know about Martha as an overview. Of course, she was the sister of Mary and sister of Lazarus. She was a friend of Jesus. She lived in Bethany. Bethany was a small town on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. So keep that in mind. You're going to see that in our reading a lot tonight, that Jesus went to this Mount of Olives, or this town of Bethany. It was a small town on the eastern slope of that, really close to Jerusalem. She complains to Jesus twice. The first time is when she's busy preparing food and her sister is not busy helping her. Later on, when her brother dies, and she says that he would have lived if only Jesus had gotten there sooner. And she's also at that time confessed at one point that Jesus is the Christ. Her sister Mary, of course, is a sister of Martha and Lazarus, also a friend of Jesus, also lived in Bethany. She, in contrast, neglected household duties to listen to Jesus. She also anointed Jesus with expensive ointment, as we'll see. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, also from Bethany, was raised from the dead, of course. He'd been dead for 4 days before he was raised. And at some point after that, as they're seeking to kill Jesus, they're also seeking to kill him. Kind of put the proof of that away. And then we have Simon the leper, who I mentioned here because he's also in the story. Whenever Mary is anointing Jesus with this ointment, it's Simon the leper's house that this is being done in. Didn't make any contact if they are any relation there, but it was at his house. But he's also from Bethany. So these four from Bethany, and we'll go ahead and get started with our readings. Luke chapter 10. This is our first introduction of Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, begin at verse 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So here's her complaint. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So this is our introduction to these two women. And then we have next the death of the brother Lazarus, John chapter 11. I'll be reading this entire chapter here. John chapter 11. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." So I'm not told the relation of this. "It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill." Now, we've not talked about that yet. So a question I have, and I don't really have an answer for it. Why is it mentioned that here when John has not mentioned this ointment yet? But we'll get back to that. But here it just tells that. It could be, just one example, by the way, that maybe one of the other books already written, and he's referencing back to that. Okay. But here it kind of seems out of place, out of context. As is a few things that we'll talk about in tonight's lesson, but this in particular. So again, verse 2, "It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill." Verse 3, "So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.'" Now, we've not had any mention so far of him meeting this Lazarus, but he obviously knew him. We know he met Mary and Martha already. We just read that a minute ago. from Luke. But he obviously knew Lazarus as well, because it says, "He whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So Jesus knows what's going to happen and what he's going to do. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Again, he knew all three of them. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He delayed. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples, verse 12, said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant that he was taking rest and sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So he knows before getting there that he's passed away. He also knows what's going to happen. And he's also glad that this has happened this way, so that they can be a test to the miracle he's going to do when he gets there. Verse 16. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany, again this is the town they were from, was near Jerusalem. Keep that in mind as well. We're going to talk about Jerusalem later on, and Bethany back and forth. So this Bethany, where they're going to, where they're from, where he's going to do this miracle, was near Jerusalem. It's about 2 miles off. We see how close it was. Keep in mind, as we'll talk about later, again, they don't have cars back then. They had to go by foot or by animal. Okay. So about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. So they're separated at this point. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So her second complaint that we mentioned earlier. We're going to notice that Mary also says the same thing later. Verse 22, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." So she makes this confession of her belief. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village. So again, he's on his way there. Remember, Martha had come out to him. She goes back, and now Mary's coming out. But he was still in the place where Martha had met him. Verse 31. When the Jews who were with her in her house, consoling her, that's why they're there. They know that he had died. They saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. And keep in mind, she's been dead for 4 days. And so we've had all this time period where all these people can congregate, hear the news, and get there, who were friends of theirs, to be there, this group of people. Verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So she makes this same statement. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" So again, they recognize that he knew him and that he loved him, even though we don't have any other reference to him meeting him. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, for you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. So he's saying this in front of them. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died, come out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. So here we have this raising of Lazarus after 4 days. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, this group of people that was already there, had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Again, they are aware in this Bethany. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness. So he leaves for a bit, goes to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with his disciples. We're told in verse 55, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Does it give us a time frame? We know it's close. But this Passover, which we're going to hear about in a minute, was at hand. And many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And they were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think? That he will not come to this feast at all? Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. So we have this overall death of Lazarus and these happenings. And now we're going to look at Jesus being anointed. Again, Lazarus has died this time. He's alive now again. We're going to look at this time frame. We're going to look at different scriptures here of Jesus being anointed. It can be confusing, and I hope I get it right. If I don't, you tell me. But I think I've pieced it together. John chapter 12. Let's start there. Very next verse. This is me, John's account. We're going to set this to start up our time frame. Okay, we'll be talking about not only the anointing, but also, of course, Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem. This doesn't happen on the same day. This happens within a week or so. So verse 1 of chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover. Remember that time frame. 6 days before the Passover. Jesus, therefore, came to Bethany, the same town, 6 days before Passover, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So he's already done this. He's back alive. And this is 6 days before the Passover. So they gave a dinner for him there. Doesn't say where or whose house just yet in these verses. Martha served. And Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Again, being raised from the dead. He's there. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointments made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge over the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Note also on a side note, Martha doesn't do any complaining here about not being helped. She kind of learned her lesson on that. But the time frame again, 6 days before Passover, they're in Bethany, and this anointing happens here. Let's note the next day, John 12 and verse 12. Let's finish reading verse 9. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there at this anointing, they came not only on account of him, but also to see who? Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. because on account of his, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. So this happens. Verse 12. The next day, after this anointing, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Remember they had this feast for him? So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written. Now here it just says he found one. We'll see more of that story in a minute. It works as a time frame. Remember, he's in Bethany when he leaves for this journey to Jerusalem. He's met. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and what had, been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to do what? To bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they heard he had done this sign, raising from the dead. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. So again, we have this time frame, 6 days before the Passover. He's in Bethany. He's anointed at some point in time. And then he does what? He goes into Jerusalem. Okay? So at some point, is all we're going to say, before the entry into Jerusalem, he's anointed. Don't know the exact day. You know, understand why in just a minute. Let's go to Mark's account. Mark chapter 11. Everyone following so far? Before I read these verses, let's notice something. Mark chapter 11. We're going to see where it tells about him going into Jerusalem. Go somewhere else too. We'll talk about that. If you turn over to Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, a few chapters over, that's where it mentions him being anointed. So how do we put these two together? Let's go back to Mark 11. Now when they had drew near to Jerusalem, not in Jerusalem, but near to Jerusalem, as we already read earlier, where to? To Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. So they're getting near to Jerusalem, but they're actually going to this town of Bethany. Who's from there? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay? Mount of Olives. What did he do? He sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, some distance away, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. Our account earlier didn't mention him sending people to get it. He just said he found one. Verse 4, and they went away and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told him what Jesus had said and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus. So during this time where they're going to get this and come back, Jesus is not sitting around. He's doing things. He's still in Bethany. But it takes some time to do these things. He's not actually entered into Jerusalem yet on the colt. Verse 7, they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their cloaks on it and he sat on it and many spread their cloaks on the road. Others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. And he did what? Entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, it was already late, what did he do? He went out to Bethany. So he goes to Jerusalem. He's in Bethany. He goes to Jerusalem on this colt. And he goes back to Bethany. We're going to see some more things here. Note the next day, verse 12, he goes back to Jerusalem again. We saw this return to Bethany. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. So we have the story of where he curses the fig tree there. But he's on his way back to the city here. Verse 15, and they came to Jerusalem. So they get there and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. So he drives out and cleanses the temple here while he's in Jerusalem. Go down to verse 19. And when evening came, they went out of the city. So he does some things in Jerusalem. He leaves. Verse 20, as they passed by in the morning, it's the next day, they saw the fig tree again. They're going back to Jerusalem again. As they go back and forth, turn to verse 27. And they came again to Jerusalem. And he's walking the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and elders came to him and so forth. So the point's this. During this time, he goes to Bethany 6 days before the Passover. Okay, before this, actually gets to Jerusalem, he's anointed at some point in time. He enters Jerusalem the first time on this colt, but during these days, he's going back and forth. Jerusalem, Bethany, back and forth. That's why I say we can't pin down the exact time there, but at some point we know it was done. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Mark chapter 14. So we're going to skip over chapter 12. He goes in the city, he's teaching. He's going back to Bethany for the night. He goes back to Jerusalem, he teaches some more. He goes back to Bethany. Chapter 12 happens. Chapter 13 happens. He's doing all his teaching. Chapter 14. It was now 2 days before the Passover. So he knew this for several days. Remember, it was 6 days when he first got to Bethany? Now 2 days before Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. Remember, they're also seeking to kill Lazarus at the same time as well. Now let's go to verse 3 here, which seems out of context. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, we found out whose house it was. It wasn't Mary Martha, it was Simon, unless there was some kind of relation that we're not told about. As he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask, she's not named, of ointments and pure nard, very costly. She broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? Here it just says some said, it didn't say Judas. For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But she will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Before we talk about this for a minute, note next, Judas seeks to betray him. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went out to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give money, and he sought an opportunity to betray him. Remember, that was 2 days before, not this anointing, but this plot. Verse 12, and on the first day of unleavened bread, so here we see that they're going to take this meal. So let's go back to verse 3. In the other chapter we talked, the other book we talked about, it was 6 days before this Passover, right? He was in Bethany. He was anointed. He sent people to get the colt. However long it took, they went to get the colt. They come back, he's doing things during this time. During this time of this week, he's teaching. He's going to Jerusalem to teach. He's coming back to Bethany. He's going to teach. He's coming back to Bethany. Verse 3, if I make this work right, is simply referring back to some point in time. Back to, and while he was at Bethany, not necessarily in the order how it happened, but reflecting back. While he was in Bethany in the house, it's kind of retelling that story when it happened. Let's look at Matthew's account. Questions or comments? Matthew's going to be very similar. Matthew chapter 21. Very similar to the one we just read. Verse 1 of chapter 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, again near, and came to Bethage, it also doesn't say Bethage and Bethany as the other book did, but it's the same place. Came to Bethage, to where? To the Mount of Olives, the same location. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you. Immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them. Bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them. He will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. So they're gone doing that. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees, spread them on the road. The crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Verse 12, as we read earlier. And Jesus entered the temple, and he drove all out who sold and bought in the temple, overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. As we noted earlier, he does things and he goes back. He does things and he goes back. Verse 17, we'll see this. And leaving them, he went out of the city to where? Bethany, and did what? He lodged there after he does this. Verse 18, in the morning as he was returning to the city, again, as we read earlier, he's going back to Jerusalem, going back and forth. And then turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Again, as we read earlier, he's going to the city, he's teaching, he's doing things, he's going back. A few chapters over. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, verse 1 of 26, he said to his disciples, You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming. Remember, it was 6 days when he went to Bethany originally. Now it's 2 days before Passover. And the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. And the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And then just like the other book, we got this anointing again. It seems out of place. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, doesn't mean it's going in order there. It's referring back to what had already happened. A woman came up to him, an alabaster flask of a very expensive ointment. She poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. When the disciples saw it, they were told the disciples, not Judas, not the people. They were indignant, saying, Why this waste? This could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why do you trouble the woman? She has done me a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, well, she will be done and be told in memory of her. Verse 14, right after this, sometime after this, I should say, Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, What will you give me if I deliver him over to you? So he plots on how he's going to do this. Verse 17, Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Where will you have us prepare this meal? We're going to have this Passover. So this is the time frame here. Questions or comments about that? Let's look at Luke's account. Again, that's me trying to piece those time frames together. We have a 6 day time frame to work with there. 6 days down to 2 days, that is. All the people were gathered at Martha's house. Lazarus had just had died. All these people here, they had this anointing there. And as this donkey's come back, they're falling as well and seeing those things. Luke's account, Luke chapter 19. We're going to see as he's getting closer to Bethany. Let's look at chapter 18, verse 35. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. So he heals this blind man here as he's near Jericho. Verse 19. Again, he's drawing near to Jericho. Chapter 19, verse 1. He enters Jericho, and passing through, and he sees Zacchaeus here. So he's getting closer where he's going. In verse 28. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Going up to, not into, but going up to Jerusalem, going toward Jerusalem, as he's going from leaving Jericho. He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Verse 29. When he drew near to Bethage and Bethany, these towns, at the mount that is called Olive, he sent to his disciples. So he's staying there, he's sending his disciples to do this. Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied. No one has ever sat. Untie it, bring it here. Anyone ask you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. They brought it to Jesus. Throwing the cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives. He's leaving. They're going down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Note his continual going to and from again. Luke chapter 21. Again, the next chapter or so, he's going back and forth. And we're told specifically, Luke chapter 21, verse 37. "And every day he was teaching," where? In the temple, every day. "But at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olive," where this Bethany is, this Bethage. So we're told specifically, he's going in, he's going out. "And early in the morning," verse 38, "all the people came to him in the temple to hear him." That's where he would go and do this teaching back and forth as he's in this area. Chapter 22, verse 1. "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people." So we have this account. Note, Luke skips the anointing. Luke has no mention of it whatsoever. What happens right after this? Verse 3. "Then Satan entered in Judas, called Iscariot, who was the number of the 12, and he went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers, how he might betray them." So he starts figuring out how to betray him. Verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed." So this is the time frame, as best I can tell, of these events. Questions or comments? Thank you.